healthy chocolate? No way. What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host once again, Brett Dupree, here for episode 72. Today I talked to good friend Liz Ophoven about chocolate, but first I must talk about my life. Because if I can't be vulnerable, how can I expect my guests to be vulnerable? It feels like a 3 years since I recorded my last podcast. Things were insane in 2020 before, as today is 6/3/2020. Day 5, I am in the Seattle area, and we've had a curfew in day 4. A couple days ago was the closest to looting I've ever been in my life. Not doing looting, but closing to people doing looting. And just, the world has gone topsy-turvy. The funny thing is, everyone was talking about how the world wasn't going to be the same after this global pandemic. Then all of a sudden, things went up a notch. Pretty much dialed it up to 11. And I've been thinking that it is too much for me. I have never felt more anxious about living before. Generally speaking, in my life, when I felt anxious about, well, life, it's my own dumb choices and things happening to me. Like when I lost my job and had to declare bankruptcy. But this is another instance where I don't know what's going to happen, and it could be something with lasting consequences, and they can be very bad. Or things can get back to a new normal relatively quickly. By relatively quickly, I mean 2-3 years of kind of pain, but then things go back to normalcy with hopefully we step away from fascism and authoritarianism and really embrace our community. And try to create something better than what it is, since we do have a country that a lot of things were founded with this idea from people who 200 years ago, who didn't know, you know, they pretty much thought that swamp gas caused diseases. And basically any person alive today with a second grade education has a better understanding of how the world works. I mean, they still don't know that Pluto is not a planet because they don't know Pluto exists. But, of course, this is just too much. I remember seeing the tapes. I'm 40. I still think of video media as tapes of George Floyd's death. I haven't watched it. I don't want to see another black man die. I'm used to that. I remember seeing it and thinking, oh, great. We're going through this again. I mean, that's the feeling I had. Here we go again. We're going to be upset for a little bit. They're going to drum up charges, probably after some rioting. Then nothing's going to happen. I knew there was going to be some rioting because this one was different. I knew it was different because the look on the officer's face, I could see it. And then the black man pleading for his mama, his dead mama. It's just hard. I mean, you know, if you see my picture, you might think I'm Samoan, but I am half black, and I recognize that gives me a lot of privilege in this world. I mean, I grew up with mostly white people. I mean, I won't say mostly white people. Most of my friends are white. That's just the people I became friends with. I was more in tune with white culture growing up, but I grew up with my black dad. My sister is different. She's almost the opposite. She was friends with all the black kids. I always felt not black enough growing up. I always knew. I mean, number one, my grandpa would never let me forget. Obviously, if you met him. An amazing man who died last year. Almost wish he was alive to see what's going on today. In a way, I think he would enjoy all the protests. I know he'd be out there at 80-something, marching, being tear-gassed. Watching the police brutality. It's been hard. And there's this guilt. This guilt that I'm not doing enough. That I'm fine. I have a stable job that's paying me well. I am, at this point, not in any danger. My only danger is, honestly, since this whole pandemic started, the only danger I've had is how much Grubhub and DoorDash I've been getting. and I'm trying to lose weight so I can stave off diabetes. That's been my burden. I've been able to think to myself, I can buy this because I'm helping small businesses, and if I lose weight, I'll be hurting the community. I haven't really talked to him about it. It's tough. Hurts. It really hurts. It's just so much pain. It's just so much pain. So much pain out there. It's so painful. I mean, just so much. And I recognize that. And I hate feeling it. I mean, that's a big reason why I eat so much. It's because I hate feeling it. I hate feeling pain. I hate being vulnerable. I didn't expect to do this, but I can keep it in, other than the cuss word I just said. It sucks. It really sucks. And there's no joyous spiritual bullcrap to get out of it. I just see that as just another form of fear. I think people forget that fear is flight and fight, and fight is just another form of fear. And I've seen it in my spiritual friends who just fight bullcrap, and you see it a lot of times, people trying to spiritual it away. And it's just frustrating. Frustrating. I'm frustrated. So frustrated. And helpless. That's another thing. It's helpless. It's so much bigger than me. I'm just some jerk on my computer talking to on a podcast that might get 20 people to listen. If it's good. Depends on how many Liz's friends listen. I'm good for like 6 to 10. And I feel like I'm not doing enough. You know? I was just constantly feeling like not enough. So I'm working on that. I want to be more. I want to be a person of positive change upon this planet. I want to bring joy and love and awesome upon this planet. I want to be better. I have to be better. Not for me, but also for me. Also for me. Because I'm worth being better. I'm worth working on myself, and I'm worth trying my best to make this world an awesome place for most of us, as many as I can, and help people awaken to their awesome selves, and there's a place for that. So I can't do everything. I'm too fat and out of shape to protest. I feel guilty, especially after watching that BS video of Trump holding that Bible after gassing peaceful protesters. I don't think I've ever been more angry and helpless feeling in my life. Almost makes me want to buy a gun and go to a shooting range so I can protect myself from the tyrants like him. Almost. But I have to have faith. Faith in humanity. That this too shall pass. But as it passes, we have to go through it. Using the most biggest moment of my life to make myself better and not bitter and embrace love. Oh, jeez. Can't believe I'm going to put out a podcast where I cry. Thought of doing that is scary. You don't know how much I hate crying. That's not my favorite thing to do. Alright. Woo! That was fun. But if I can't be vulnerable, how can I expect my guest to be? Luckily, I know the guest today. She is amazing. Someone I love very much. She helped me through my bankruptcy a few years ago. If you've been following my podcast and I talked about the cacao ceremonies, I know I mentioned it a few times, that helped me through that. She's the one who runs them, and it was an honor to have her on. I met her by accident, kinda. I became obsessed with ceremonial chocolate. Not ceremonial, I just became obsessed with chocolate as a health food. And I started with this thing called Shoshai. It's one of those multi-level marketing schemes. I didn't buy it, I used to just buy it on eBay from the people who just want to unload their, you know, people who failed in their business who just want to unload, so I would get it for like half the price. But it's still too expensive. It's like $2 for a little tiny freaking nugget. But then I started adding cacao powder to my smoothies. One day I saw this meditation at the Bala Yoga Center in Kirkland about a cacao ceremony. And I drank the ceremonial cacao in the ceremony. Melina is the name. Melina Worsham. And I really liked it. I loved it. Number one, the ceremonial cacao is amazing. It's just the smell and how it makes you feel. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I loved it. I loved it then. And then I was wondering when she was going to come back, because she wasn't living in Washington, to do another one, because I wanted to do more. And I was running out of the chocolate I bought At the time, they were $20 a piece for a pound, and I bought $100. I bought five of them, and I drink it every morning, and it was great. I loved it. I loved the way it made me feel. It was just, it's better. In fact, I use it now for my Church of Awesome. Right before I do my podcast, I drink it. And when I make the Church of Awesome in person, I plan on making cacao a big part of it because it's just a great heart opener. But Liz is going to talk about it more. But I talked to Melina, and I was like, when are you coming back? And she's like, oh, this is my friend Liz. You should meet up with her. She does the same thing, and she has a sound bath. You'll love it. And I went, and I did. So I'm super happy to share my friend Liz with you. Liz Ophoven is a ceremonialist, cacao maven, healer, and artist. Liz has been leading ceremonies with Cacao and Sound Journey for over 5 years, guiding people to their highest, most authentic selves. She studied with seven strong teachers for 7 years in the field of yoga, energy work, aura healing, and psychic training. Certified 200 hours yoga instructor with BFA in Fine Arts at Cornish College of Arts, graduate of Psychic Awakenings, Clairvoyance Awareness Program, completed 3 years of energy school and spiritual journey work with Untamed You, and a certified cacao practitioner with Keith's Cocoa. Liz is an avid creator, currently writing a cookbook with her family, designing a clothing line, recording medicine music for Sound Journey, building ceramic workshop guardians for her solo art show at Core Gallery in January 2021, and is launching a line of sacred ceramic vessels to enjoy your cacao. She lives in Seattle with her husband and two tweens, their dog, cat, two guinea pigs, and other frequent house guests. Now here is my interview with Liz Ophoven.
Hello, Liz, and welcome to my podcast.
Awesome. Hi.
I am excited to have you on. I've known you for, 4 or 5 years now?
Yeah, I think it's been a while.
For the listeners at home, I met Liz at a cacao ceremony that she runs with an awesome sound bath, and it has been a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep thinking back to when we were sort of just starting out, and sometimes we would have quite a room full and sometimes not so much. And one time it was just Brett and it was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm so thankful for the both of you for that. That was very helpful for me.
Awesome.
So how did you get started in your sound bath and your journey into spirituality and as a spiritual entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I got started with the sound bath as a dear friend of mine came back from like a life-changing, I should say like midlife chrysalis changing trip to Guatemala. And she came back with some cacao from Guatemala and taught me about cacao and taught me about sharing cacao and the power of it in creating community. I had been doing some guided meditations and some workshops kind of in the spiritual realm, talisman making and different things like this to get people together in a fun way, in an active way, and to help people in that kind of ceremonial setting to get their whole energy field cleared and cleansed. So the cacao, when I was introduced to that, just seemed sort of a magic portal where I could bring all of this together and share and heal. And one of the best ways to receive energetic healing is through sound. So I used to have a friend of mine come and play her quartz crystal bowls. But then one time she couldn't make it at the last minute. I played the bowls and it kind of took off from there.
Have you always been into spirituality type things?
Yeah, kind of. So I think that I was in high school in the 80s, and there was a movement of spirituality back then called New Age, right? It was so funny and fun and cool. And my mom was a little bit into it, and somehow I got a hold of some New Age music, this artist called Andreas Vollenweider. And I would secretly listen to New Age music while doing my homework, and I ended up just loving it so much. And then I started reading some sort of self-help books and things like that back then as well. And it just started to lead me into this path of trusting my inner wisdom, basically.
So you didn't always trust your inner wisdom?
No. So, well, I would just say that the environment that I grew up in did not support inner wisdom. I grew up in the Midwest in Indiana, and the way that my family was structured was very patriarchal, and it was very proper. But that was like the appearance of our family from the outside. The inside was really hurting and really struggling. And there wasn't a lot of love, and there wasn't a lot of compassion, and there wasn't a lot of support for people. But I had a very unique experience when I was growing up in this family. And I should also mention, most of the men in my family were alcoholics. So I was growing up in this family where we're really working hard on appearances. There's a sort of a violence underneath of like people clawing and scratching for love and attention and support. But then something happened. So it was my sister and myself, and she was 2 years older than me. And she was diagnosed with childhood leukemia. So when I'm just actually 2 years old, before I'm even like really understanding what I'm alive, I grow up into this system of all of these things going into play. And then my parents dealing with my sister, a little girl who's just 4 years old at the time, having to start to get chemotherapy treatments. So that is a really, really intense, energetic for a family to deal with, especially a family that doesn't deal with things. I created an entire other dimension that I lived in, and that was my inner world. You know, I would spend a lot of time by myself, and I loved it. It was super peaceful. I think that I really just tuned up my energy, like my energetic ears and my energetic sort of imagination, and came up with, you know, imaginary friends and asked them for advice. And I think eventually it just started to become more and more of my own inner voice that was talking to me as opposed to something from the outside. Yeah, that's probably how it began.
Sounds like you had your own bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah, I really, really wanted it. I wanted it more than ever. So I worked so hard to create it, you know, as much as I could. But then there was still a lot of pressure as I was growing up and dealing with my parents' family who were suffering through my sister's illness. After 4 years of her going through chemo and then remission and then chemo, she passed away. And so I was then 6 years old. I was then sort of fell into an abyss of even more alone time. My parents split up after that. My mother went into a deep depression. So I became super independent, and I spent a lot of time alone and a lot of time trying to figure out for myself, you know, what was right and wrong, what was appropriate, what should I learn, and how can I take care of myself, and, you know, even how can I take care of my mother. So what I wanted to do more than anything was escape, and the best place was my imagination, which later became my intuition.
So how can you tell the difference between intuition and escape?
Right. Yeah. So there are a couple of different things that I've learned about disassociation and intuition. There's when life becomes really painful, especially emotionally painful, there is for me, and I think many people, the desire to get away, right? You just want to pop on out of there. This can be disassociation. So I would do that. I would totally space out, go into my own little imaginary world. And this started to leak over into when I was in school as a young girl. My grades were really falling and I wasn't able to focus or pay attention. And the world just seemed kind of boring and also really scary. So disassociation can be unserving in a way, but it did also, it's like sort of, I don't know if there was a differentiation at that point. There was a way where I was just tuning into my own needs and I was tuning into something that I desired. As people get older and get into their teens, sometimes disassociation will lead you down the road of alcohol and drugs and just like getting away and not dealing with what's happening. And if you just take a little bit of a sharper turn there and spin right back into yourself, you can sort of reassociate, but go inward and inside there, it can be just as juicy and fun and cool, but you're still with yourself as opposed to departing from yourself. And then, you know, I'm not even sure at this point if I've answered your question, but I think I did.
So that turning inside is how you broke the... Because a lot of times when people's parents are alcoholics, the children become alcoholics. Is that how you try to kind of turn that around?
Yeah, definitely. I learned a lot about that as I was growing up, and especially as a young teen. I took a couple of psychology classes and started to understand how the paradigm of families work. So my uncle was a recovered alcoholic, but still very much in the program, AA, and very much identifying as an alcoholic. So he would warn me and with, you know, about the effects of alcoholism in families. And then these studies with psychology and sociology and things helped me understand what it was at risk. And honestly, yeah, I tried it out. I was like, okay, so let me see. Am I one of those people? Am I going to go down this road of like sort of the lost soul? Will I be an addict? Will I be a total fuck up in the world? I tried it on because it seemed like that was a predetermined outcome for me, especially with the death of a sibling added into that. And I decided it wasn't. I was just like, no, you know, I know there are a lot of influences, but I have freedom of choice. I want to do a lot of other things. The easy way, I guess, would have been to just let my life drive me. But I chose to engage in my own personal path, you know, things that I was interested in and things that were exciting to me, and drive my own life. It wasn't always just like, it wasn't like one decision. You know, it's come around over and over and over again. Who's driving here? You know, it is a constant struggle because those things are true for me. At least it was clear from a very early age, like exactly what I would be up against and what some of my biggest hurdles would be in life in order to achieve my goals and dreams and desires. I feel, you know, just kind of knowing that at a younger age and continuing to remind myself and understand what's happening helped me to overcome those hurdles and blockages.
And one way for you that was going through your spiritual path.
Yeah. You know, my spiritual path started as more of a rebellious path. And I rebelled from my family, which was pretty conservative and kind of Republican. And I decided to listen to my heart and listen to myself, make my own decisions, right? So like I was explaining earlier, I decided I was going to move away from my hometown as soon as I possibly could, because I knew the longer that I stayed there, the better chances that I would fall into this predetermined path. I used to ask myself this question, and it's super duper valid even today. And so the question I would ask myself is, what would you do? Well, I would say it in first person. What would I do if I were me? And if I were me, I would do this, you know, and it would roll out. The answers would just come. And so I really think that for me, spirituality has never been about worshiping something outside of myself or giving over my power or having faith in something that I don't understand outside of myself. It's always been, can I please just have faith in myself? And that's been the most powerful guiding tool for me, is turning back in and saying, okay, who is Liz? What is she planning? What does she want to do here on this planet? That's my spirituality, is learning to know myself and allowing for that woman to guide me, the true, most authentic, untethered and unharmed version of myself.
What have you gained from following that inner guidance?
Exactly. I know. It's kind of like sometimes I say to myself also, like, what's the point? This does seem pretty hard. And wouldn't it be nice if I could just fall into a pattern that just guaranteed me some level of success and security and safety and a future and maybe a retirement? So what have I gained? And why is it important? I have gained a sense of excitement for life. I've gained the knowledge that with age comes more opportunity. As long as I keep being curious and keep being excited, I want to live and I want to share and I want to be with people and I want to create. As I get older, so I'm 47 years old now, as I continue to grow and evolve and allow this sense of curiosity to be a guiding light for me, I continue to be more and more engaged with life. And I'm so excited you know, to see what could I even do. I definitely have some hurdles to overcome, and I face those when they come every single time. But what could I really do in this life? And thinking about it in a way of like, I get to be here. I get to live this life. And I know, because I've tried it on a few times, I know I'm not happy if I just slip into a role. That's, I just go get a job at, oh gosh, you know, maybe like graphic design or something. That would probably be exciting for me for a little while. But if the pattern becomes too repetitive, I know myself well enough to know that I'll start to feel that sense of boredom, which leads to depression, which leads me to start seeking elsewhere. Where can I get some excitement around here, you know? So then that can eventually lead to the disassociation. So you have to take some kind of medicine if you're putting up with something that you just don't enjoy, right? So I'd rather try to enjoy my life and have my life be the medicine that I don't have to escape.
So what made you decide to want to take that excitement into building a community and helping other people?
You know, it's so cool because I'm actually super shy, and I'm super duper shy. But when I realized how powerful the energy work tools that I've learned are, and how exciting it is and how enlivening it is for people to feel valuable to themselves, to feel like what they're doing and how they're living is interesting, I realized I just wanted to share it. I wanted to share it. And it brings me so much joy to be part of a community of people that are reclaiming the power of over their own lives, reclaiming their inner wisdom, reclaiming the strength to know that they get to be here. Not only that, they're entitled to live a happy life, and to see, like, there's nothing more exciting to me than to be around people that are turned on and ready to adventure. So that's entertainment. So I guess in a way, it's entertainment for me. I'm like, look at all these people and what they're doing, because they're free. Their mind is free and their creativity is flowing, and it's exciting. And then I feel like that, in that way, we all get to be truly ourselves. We're tapping into our best. We're tapping into our genius, and that's what's going to heal the world. So eventually, and I know this is already happening, and I'm even starting to collaborate a little bit more and more people. So let's say you're in your best. Let's say it's in your genius. More and more people are in their genius and collaborating with other people in their genius and coming up with amazing solutions, for sure, but even amazing expressions. And when you have an amazing expression, then you're not so destructive out there in the world. So, yeah.
So what all energy type things that you do, modalities? And
oh, yes. I guess I'm a ceremonialist, and I work with cacao. I'm a healer. I'm an aura healer. I'm an intuitive musician / sound healer. So I work with quartz crystal bowls, gongs, Tibetan bowls. I mean, really, it's like broadening. So vocals and rattles and things like this, amazing instruments that are so fun to work with. And I'm a visual artist and a sculptor and a yogi and a mother. So I get to use my tools, especially in the art and the healing arts. And it really narrows down to kind of three main tools. The first one is being grounded. So really, really getting your body and your energy field connected to the center of the planet, connecting with the earth's energy field, you know, through your feet and through your root chakra. The second one is finding center. Finding center for me was so hard for so long. I couldn't do it. It was like, you know, for anyone who's had experience in finding your center, I was always like way over to the left. It's like, where is your awareness right now? And I'm like up and out and over to the left. So once I was able to train myself to come into center, there's like a whole world there that's very peaceful. And the third one is finding the edges of my personal space or the boundary of my aura and keeping my energy inside my boundary and allowing the energy outside my boundary to stay outside my boundary. So these three things are the tools that I really love to share, and they're the basis and the framework for, I feel like, any and all additional healing.
So what really led you to crystal? I mean, what are the benefits of crystal sound healing and cacao ceremonies?
Mm-hmm. So one of the benefits is community. I mean, this is really one of the strongest benefits is the element of community. The element of community while you're being healed or when you are healed. So let's say you're healed in a way that your aura is cleaned out, you're sort of refreshed. Cacao itself is an amazing superfood and it's a plant medicine. And so when you drink ceremonial cacao, your heart chakra and your vascular system open up. So you're getting a super shot of magnesium and all these different nutrients. At the same time, your heart starts pumping more blood through your body. So you're oxygenating and it allows you to come into center more easily and to stay there with less effort. Oh, you should never have effort to stay there, but it's just a great ally. So this is a plant ally and a food medicine, you know, or it could be a plant medicine and a food ally. And it's chocolate. I mean, what says love more than chocolate? Come on. Mm-hmm. Right? So it just works. I drank it and I was like, whoa, this is an experience. I can feel it and it really works. It lends a great hand. It's wonderful in communities. And the quartz crystal bowls are fantastic healing tools because they transmit vibration, right? And they're a perfectly tuned whole notes. The set I have is the 7 whole notes. And so when the vibration of the whole notes starts to leave the bowl and go out into the room, and then it crosses over into the energy fields of everyone at the ceremony, these whole note bowls that are perfectly tuned are, you have all of these notes in your body and in your energetic system. And so once these tuned pitches come through, if you're out of tune anywhere, which is exactly what happens when we're not feeling very good, the bowl vibrations bring you into tune and they clean you up and tune you up and through a process called entrainment. So if there's a greater force that is perfectly in tune, it will tune up the other instruments in the room and our bodies happen to be those instruments. And there's just something so fantastic about the sound of the bowls and their ability to help you fall into that meditative state, theta, or, you know, just a deep relaxation. They take over the chatter in your mind and allow you just to be present. So you're getting centered, you're being present, and you're surrendering. You literally, I think, for me, is surrender into the sound. And just be a witness then to what's happening inside your mind's eye or inside your body. And your only job is to just be there and breathe. And they're fantastic. They work miraculously. They work miracles. I mean, music had to have been, I don't truly a scholar, but I think it must have been the first medicine on the planet. Through the entrainment and the healing powers of the vibrations, the sound vibrations and the awesomeness of the cacao, it's a perfect mixture for really cleaning out people's energy fields, brightening up their mood, allowing them to process. And that aspect of being in the room with other people doing the same thing. So you have acceptance, right? It's like, mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful combination to me. And it really feels, it works and it changes people's lives.
I know it's helped me when I think about going to your cacao ceremonies in the last year, especially came during a very difficult time in my life when I was going through my bankruptcy and losing a job and actually grief when I didn't know I was even going through grief. And so it allowed me to process that. And I don't remember if I did, but I think even doing this podcast came out of just one of your cacao ceremonies, as well as definitely the Church of Awesome and all the ideas through that just came through me from your cacao ceremony. So other than me, do you have any other fun success stories that you'd like to share?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I love hearing that. And do I have any fun success stories?
Any testimonials that people have given you?
I get some really beautiful feedback. I think you've been there before as well when people say, like, this is my church. And, so, you know, I really love to be able to host the cacao ceremony and the sound journeys at least once a month. And it's been a little tricky lately. So we're looking forward to that. But every single ceremony, people come up to myself and my husband, Pete, who works the ceremonies with me. And they share something, you know, whether it's deeply personal, like I had no idea, you know, that I was so sad about this, or my grandmother came and visited me in a vision, or I feel so much better. Thank you. I think it's one of these tools that you can rely on to continue to support you in whatever creative journey or emotional journey you're on. And I love getting the feedback because it just makes me feel, you know, it's working. We're doing something good here.
Yeah, my girlfriend was absolutely glowing afterwards and had so many just great connections because of it.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. And like, as you know, I like to create a theme and sort of a destination. The destination is always inside, but we can go in through a guided meditation about your higher self or a guided meditation about an animal spiritual helper or teaching a tool like timeline jumping or cleaning your crown chakra. And through these different avenues and these themes and different ways to get in and to clear out, in every single little piece of the journey there, there's either emotional block information, trauma, or creative inspiration. Or there could be messages from your guides. I mean, it's endless what could happen and what does happen, people. I like to use these different doorways to come into the center and to mix it up a little bit so that you have an opportunity to, you know, to get a taste of all these different paths and pathways that are all leading right into the center of you.
Awesome. So we are coming to the end of our time together. And one thing I like to ask my guests is do a 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you have a time machine and you're going back to your 8-year-old self, but unfortunately you'll have a minute until you're taken back into the future before you're finished giving your information. So you only have 1 minute to do it. Or you can think of it as taking your entire life's purpose and mission and condensing it down to a minute. So are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's go.
All right. I'll just hold you. Just get in my lap and I'll just hold you and rub your head for a little while. I'll do that for a minute and you'll be all better. But my motivational message would be to simply sit down with yourself and give yourself a little bit of respect. Treat yourself with some comforts, with some love, having some beautiful fabrics on your skin, something wonderful to drink, a comfortable place to sit. Take a few super deep breaths until you can start to feel that breath filling up your entire body. And ask yourself, who am I if I was me? What would I do now if I was my full self? Where would I go? What would I choose? How do I feel? You can ask. Asking is the key. What's really going on inside myself? What do I need right now? Treating yourself like you would treat your own 8-year-old child is the key to really unleashing the best of yourself. So that's my advice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I really enjoyed listening to your story and how you broke your own cycle and how your spirituality was kind of a rebellion. And the idea of actually putting yourself out there when you are shy and an introvert, how that living your purpose can make you feel so alive, and also sharing the benefits of cacao and sound baths to people out there so that they have another modality for them to try. So thank you so much for everything you do to help people. And thank you so much for making this world a better place.
Thank you so much, Brett. I loved coming on and I can't wait to see you again soon.
May your day be special.
Yeah. Namaste.
And there you have it, folks. That is my interview with Liz Ophoven, one of my good friends. I very much enjoyed learning about Liz. One thing I've actually switched my podcast to when I talk to people, I used to be, I'm looking forward to your interview, but now I'm like, I'm looking forward to learning about you, learning your story. Because number one, I think that hopefully gets them to want to tell their story. And also, I love listening to people's story. I did not know so many of those things about Liz's path and listening to how she came up from a conservative background into what she is doing today. You know, starting in an act of rebellion, but then finding herself in that, I think is really cool. A lot of times we start things for different reasons. I know, heck, I started my personal development goal just because I wanted to get with women and be able to talk to them. So you never know what you start out with, but once you go down that path of personal empowerment and self-development, it's wonderful. I know it's filled with a lot of grifters out there, but when you really talk to the people and really get to know the good ones, the genuine ones, the authentic ones, such as Liz, is just special. Liz is a special person, and I hope you check her out, because your life will be enriched as mine has been from getting to know Liz. So if you want to actually get in touch, you can find Liz at happyholisticmystics.com, Facebook at Sound and Ceremony, and on Instagram at Earth2Liz, L-I-Z. Of course, all that's going to be in the description. Earth and Aura Energy School, Private Cacao, and Sound Journey Work among the monthly in-person and virtual sound ceremony work. Book your yoga, cacao, and sound ceremony retreat for 2021. You can message Liz for details. And there you have it, folks. That is episode 72 of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. 72 is a very special number to me, because that's the year that the Miami Dolphins were undefeated, even though that was before I was born. It was fun reading about that growing up and remembering better times for us Miami Dolphin fans. So if you want to get in touch with me for any reason, you can email me at bre2ts, dupr2es, at joyousexpansion.com. You can... Oh, you can find me on Facebook at Increase Your Joy, because my SEO is bad. You can find my Instagram, LinkedIn, and as well as Twitter at Joyous Expansion. I don't know why I forgot Twitter. More information about me at joyousexpansion.com. More episodes of my podcast at pod.joyousexpansion.com. If you like this, leave, like, subscribe, review, anything that can help people find it, listen to it, share it. I would appreciate you so much, because I love you for who you are, for listening to this. And I am Brett Dupree, your champion of authentic joy, joyous expansion, life coaching, catalyst of transformation of the Church of Awesome, reminding you to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. Now play that jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com.